Let's turn in God's Word to Romans chapter 13. In Romans 13, we're reading verses 1 through 7. Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. Before we read the Word and hear the Word preached, let's pray to the Lord. Father, we come again, we remind ourselves we are coming and we are before Your throne. And in this time, You speak to us. You thunder down just as You did upon Mount Sinai. And You speak to us through Your Son, through the weakness of a servant. We ask that You would bless us. We ask that You would grow us in knowledge and wisdom, also discernment. Help us, Father, for we are even too weak to hear the words that are read. So fill us by Your Spirit and grant us Your grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 13, verse 1, these are God's words. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. For He is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for He does not bear the sword in vain. For He is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Those are God's words. Last Lord's Day, we began hearing about the right duty of the civil magistrate. There is, beloved, a right duty for the civil magistrate to follow and obey Jesus Christ, who's in authority over them, over all things, not in His essential dominion, as we heard, but in His mediatorial dominion. And as the Father, as representative for the triune God, has given all authority and power and rule and dominion to Christ, the God-man, the Redeemer, the Savior, our Lord. Christ has been set far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And that Christ is the King of Kings. It is said that He is to rule in the midst of His enemies. And as kings and judges of the earth are commanded, they are to kiss the Son, whom God has anointed. We're going to be hearing a lot of passages of Scripture this morning. But as we think of the right duty of Jesus Christ as of the civil magistrate, if Christ in His mediatorial dominion is king over the church and all nations and all rulers and all things and all governments, all nations, all governors and judges and rulers and presidents and kings and mayors and city and county councilmen, all of them must kiss the Son. All of them, we heard last week, must swear allegiance to Him. All of them and all nations must covenant with Him, promise, that is, to Him, and bow the knee to be His and to serve under His authority. And so they are to follow Him and even encourage, as we learn in 1 Timothy 2, encourage true worship for the peace of the children of God. And we ought to pray for that. 1 Timothy 2 says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, as we prayed, be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And for a moment we began looking at the second duty, or a second duty, of the civil magistrate, and that was that they are bound to recognize the Word of God as the supreme law of the nation and to be that standard. The Word of God must be that standard of all legislation and all rule and all judgment. And why is that? We began hearing because nations as well as individuals are bound by the law of God. If all men are bound by the law of God, and all nations too are to swear allegiance to Christ, who's King of Kings, then what other possible standard of righteousness or good, as in the language of Romans 13, what other possible standard is there for good but the very word of Jesus Christ found in the Scriptures? There is no other standard. We heard in prayer meeting this past week, Psalm 119, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Your law is truth. The righteousness of your testimonies, that's His word, is everlasting. Moses, when he was near death, he gave a written copy of the law to the magistrates of that day in Deuteronomy 26, verse 9. And Joshua, the Lord spoke to that chief magistrate of the nation after Moses' death, Joshua. And he said, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. If you want to be blessed as a nation, if a nation wants to be blessed, if a ruler wants to be blessed, they need to meditate and live and rule according to the law of God. Same command is repeated over and over and over again for every king and judge of Israel. When a good king like Hezekiah was commended, what did it say of him? For he held fast to the Lord, he did not depart from following Him, but kept His commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. And a bad king like Amon died. When he died, what did it say of him? He forsook the Lord God of his fathers and did not walk in the way of the Lord. What's the way of the Lord? His commandments. The command to all kings was that they were to have a copy of the law of God and study it and apply it in their rule. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. Also, it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him. He shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children, in the midst of Israel. A good ruler is according to the Lord, someone who follows and obeys and submits to the Bible. Someone who obeys His commandments and keeps them. And an evil ruler is one who forsakes the Lord and disobeys the law. But in our day, in Reformed churches, we are told what? The law of God for a nation was only for the nation of Israel. They're speaking of the civil law of the Old Testament being only for Israel, which we would agree. Very specifically, the civil law, the application of the moral law to the nation of Israel as a nation, the civil law, was only for Israel. And yet, just like our confession says, and they, Reformed churches, would agree, the general equity still applies. That is, the general principle, as you see throughout the civil law, you see different things, and the principle behind them still applies. And so why is it, when you go to the law of the Old Testament, the civil law, that houses had to have on their roof, which was mostly flat, it was like a balcony for us, they had to have a railing? Because they were to keep the sixth commandment and protect life from falling off and hurting themselves. That's a general equity of what? The general principle, the application of what? The moral law, the Ten Commandments, the two greatest commandments. But as they, the Reformed Church, generally speaking, when they say, yes, the civil laws done away with, that was only for the nation of Israel, the general equity still applies. What do they forget? And what do they condemn when they say that? They think, and they throw out the entire moral law out of the picture for the civil magistrate. You talk to a Reformed Christian and they'll say, most of them will say, well, what does the civil magistrate have to do? Well, they'll probably fudge a little. But as a nation and its people, they would say they're not under the moral law. As a nation, or as a government. Beloved, do you know the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord and love your neighbor. The Ten Commandments. But the Ten Commandments, the two greatest commandments as a summary, are the law for all people in all times. For it is, even as our confession says, and we believe from the Scriptures, the eternal law. Nations are in no way exempt from the moral law, the Ten Commandments. And all the civil law in the Old Testament were what? They were applications of the moral law to Israel. Just as, really no different than what Jesus did at the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, here, Jews, you see, says you say, you should not commit adultery, and you say, and you put this other application in there, but what did Jesus say? He said, even if you lust in your heart, or murder, even if you have anger in your heart, he's applying it. Application of the moral law to life. There's also application to nation, governments, and rulers. And so no nations are in no way exempt from the moral law. And the moral law in the nation of Israel was applied. And that's the civil law. Some will say the law only now binds individuals. Nations are not bound to regard the Scriptures. Where is that found in the Scripture? Where is that found? That nations are not bound by the law of God. You will not find it. Those people who say that, they have made application of their wrong doctrine. They kind of go too far into the civil law being done away with, and therefore they apply it in a bad way. And they forget the moral law altogether. One theologian said, if the prince and citizen are set free from the obligations of the divine law, moral law, we may safely infer that the Christian is too. The whole Word of God, then, as it stands at present, will be of no other value, no other use, and to give us notice of the fact that we are released from all obligations to obey the precepts which it contains. But of course, that's dumb, right? But in the Reformed churches, everyone agrees. Individuals are obligated still to obey the law. So in Reformed churches, yes, every single person in our nation and throughout the world are still under the moral law. They are found guilty before the moral law. That's the covenant of works. And that's why we need Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. So in the Reformed churches, everybody would say, yes, everyone is still under the moral law. But God has not set nations and rulers to that law. Where did they get that from? God has not set nations free from that law. He has not set them free from His law. Rulers are not free from the law. They're still bound by the Word of God. Remember, Psalm 2, verse 4. Why do the nations rage, and the peoples plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel. This is not Israel. Kings of the earth. Rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. That's the God-man Jesus Christ. Saying, what do they say? What do the kings of the earth say? Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Well, how do the nations and rulers and their peoples take counsel against the Lord and His anointed? It says what those kings of the earth want. What are the bonds that they say, let's break in pieces? What are the cords they seek to cut away from themselves? That they are under and that they're trying to get out of. What are those? They seek to get themselves out of the yoke of the rule of Christ as the God-man, the King of Kings. But how do they rebel against the Lord and His anointed Jesus Christ? Unless they rebel against His Word, against His law, against His standard. And for that, they must be under it. They can't rebel against it unless they're under it. Matthew Henry says, they would break asunder the bands of conscience they are under and the cords of God's commandments, by which they are called to tie themselves out from all sin and to themselves up to all duty. They will not receive them, but cast them away as far from them as they can. I think about what the Lord, through Paul, says in 1 Timothy 1. And I'm going to read that passage. You compare that with Romans 13. 3 through 4. Notice the language of good and not good. But we know that the law is good. So what is good in Romans 13? We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. That's also important. Later on we'll look at that. We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Notice that's the context of the gospel being preached. The nations and their rulers, their peoples, are under the law of God. And what some people say then is they are to be under the second table of the Ten Commandments only. That is the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Nations, governments are to rule and be under that only. That's what some people say. They're called theonomists. Theonomy, you've heard of that? Theonomous. But notice what 1 Timothy 1 said. That the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly. Who's the ungodly? Those who have worshipped other gods. For sinners. For the unholy and profane. That's the third commandment. And then it goes on and it talks about the second table of the law. But nations are not merely under the second table alone, not merely those laws dealing with the neighbor, but the first table too. Worship of the Lord, loving the Lord. Or does it say any differently? What sense would it be to be under the second table, the second greatest commandment, and not under the first great commandment, the greatest commandment? That makes absolutely no sense. And so just as Israel, as our example for all nations was for us, so all nations are under the law of the Lord of hosts, and even the reign of He who is sent, Jesus Christ, who rules over all nations. When people break the law of God, beloved, as part of the nation, it is the nation who should punish the evildoer. The lawbreaker, as it says there in Romans 13. And so there is another duty of the civil magistrate. We won't ever really go into that too much. But the duty of the civil magistrate is punishing lawbreakers with the sword, with punishment. We saw and heard about that in Genesis 9. Taking man's blood, their blood will be shed, right? They'll be put to death. Capital punishment, we call it today. It's called justice. It's called obeying God's law and a nation obeying His law. The sixth commandment, application. But whose law? What law does a civil magistrate have that they use to punish the evildoer? God's law. Again, verse 3 of Romans 13. If they are a terror to those who do evil, and they're not a terror to those who do good, then who determines good and evil? It's not the nation. Christ, the mediatorial king, determines good and evil. He's the ruler. He's the king. He and the nations are all subject to Him. And that determination of good and evil is found in the perfect law of God, which declares the righteousness of God and declares what is righteous, good, and also condemns evil. Is it evil to murder? Yes. Because God says, thou shalt not murder. Is it evil to have other gods before the Lord? Yes, because He says, thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Right? The nations aren't to determine good and evil on their own. Our nation has done that. They've tried to do that, haven't they? Why can't nations determine good and evil themselves? Job 4, verse 17 says, why? Job 4, verse 17. Can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can a man be more pure than his Maker? The rhetorical question's answer is absolutely not ever, no, never. Christ, our mediatorial King, is purest of pure. Again, in prayer meeting, this past week we heard, your word is very pure. Because it comes from He who is infinitely, eternally, and unchangeably pure and holy. The laws of any nation are not to be based upon the majority of citizens. What they believe are good laws or not good laws. Subjects do not determine law. We can know good law from bad law, but we don't determine law. And so the citizens of a nation do not do that. Nor do magistrates, as they too are subjects of Christ the King. The king determines law, what is right and wrong. And the subjects submit and obey and carry out their duty. In our nation, we believe the opposite. We, the people, is king. That's our belief. The majority tend to rule. And so professing Christians fall into this false idea because we grew up, most of us in America, professing Christians fall into this false idea that we are to blindly obey such rulers, such leaders who make such laws that are ungodly, while they and the citizens dishonor God and degrade His law. How are we to honor, verse 7, how are we to honor and respect such people who have done that? Who've disobeyed God's law, dishonored Him, and degraded His law? Romans 13, honor to whom honor is due. Are sinners due honor? Are those who lead others into sin due honor? Are the nation and their rulers who give their citizens over to Baal and Ashtoreth and Belial due honor? That's a question we'll look at later, but not today. But to get you thinking, one theologian asked the question, When Jesus, to whom the Father hath committed all judgment, John 5:22, when Jesus, to whom the Father hath committed all judgment, shall erect his great white throne in the air, shall assemble all nations before him, open the books, and enter upon a solemn and final canvas of every man's character. What king, what potentate, will dare to set up as a plea for royal misdeeds immunity from obligation to those laws which God has published in the Scriptures? Nimrod, Ahab, Jeroboam, Herod, Phocas, which I believe was an early Byzantine leader who was evil, Louis, and Napoleon will be arraigned at the bar of Jesus and tried by, Isaiah 8, verse 20, tried by the law and the testimony. Those who have sinned against the written law shall perish by a sentence issued according to that law. Many will then learn, but too late, that the wisest policy would have been to consult the Holy Scriptures in their cabinets and halls of legislation, and to derive their maxims of government from its infinitely wise and salutary precepts. Rulers, kings, judges, governors, etc. must kiss the Son. And to kiss the Son, pledging allegiance to Him through covenant, means to live by and rule according to the greatest standard, the law of God, God's Word. Not only those principles we can glean from those specific laws that were in the nation for the nation of Israel, a general equity that is, but all the moral law and its various applications to all nations. And so should the state of Missouri, I think it had to do something with, Russ made me known of this, made known this to me, it had something to do with Medicaid, and through that funding of Medicaid would fund like fetal cells, aborted fetal cells and things like that. Should the state of Missouri do that? Absolutely not. Murder breaks the sixth commandment. You see, beloved, we have to step back and ask ourselves who created government, who created nations and governments and rulers? Our God. And who has authority over all governments, nations, and rulers? Christ, the mediatorial king who was sent and given that authority. And so then what law is to be followed? God's law, the law of Christ. Remember, even Matthew 28, the Great Commission, what it says. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of whom? All the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Amen." Go to all the nations and teach them all the commandments. To observe all that I've commanded you, the law. God's law. And why is it the law of God must be used? Because it's the enforcing and the keeping of the law of God that brings the greatest blessings to any nation. Psalm 147, verse 19. He declares His word to Jacob, His statutes and His judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for His judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. In the Old Testament, the Lord didn't give His law to any nation but Israel. And that's seen as a blessing to Israel. Now the gospel, and you can see those other nations, they wanted to be like Israel when they were at their greatest, right? And now the gospel is going out to all nations. And so those nations of which Psalm 72, which we sang, it says that all nations shall serve Christ. All nations will be blessed when rulers take up the law of God and live by it and rule according to it. So Deuteronomy 4 says the same. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord God, our God, is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon Him. And what great nation is there it has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law, which I set before you this day. Only take heed to yourself, and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. That was said to the nation. Beloved, the nation was addressed. Joshua 22, verse 5. Take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. To love the Lord your God. That's the first table. Greatest commandment. To love the Lord your God. To walk in all His ways. To keep His commandments. To hold fast to Him and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Again, language of the greatest commandment. What happens when nations do not obey the law of God? When they violate God's commandments, Isaiah 5, verse 24 says, therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their roots will be as rottenness, and their blossom will ascend like dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against His people. He has stretched out His hand against them and stricken them, and the hills trembled. Their carcasses were as refuse in the midst of the streets, for all this anger is not turned away, but His hand is stretched out still. And that's not true for only Israel. When they rebelled against them, but all nations from all times, the anger of the Lord is aroused. That's what Psalm 2 teaches us. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry. The same thing. And you perish in the way. Jeremiah 9, verse 13. The Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it, but they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts, and after the Baals. There's the first table of the law, the greatest commandment. They're breaking it. Which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. That's true of all nations in their sin and rebellion against the law of God and against Christ the mediator. But if only they would turn to Christ the mediator, the Lord Jesus, and submit to His rule, and bow the knee, and believe on Him, and follow Him. He who took the wormwood and the gall for us, for them if they come, that they would not receive that great punishment, that they would not have to drink of the wormwood and the gall. If only you would turn yourself to Jesus, our mediatorial King, from your sins, you would be saved, and you are to come and believe on Him and bow the knee, as all people are to do. And the nations, if only they would swear allegiance and bow the knee to Christ, they too would be blessed just as we have been blessed in Christ. But as it is, even their blessings, as many blessings as our nation has, even their blessings are turned into curses. And you see that today in our nation. What further evidence do we have of all this, beloved, that nations are to be under and submit to the law of Christ, the King of Kings, found in the Scriptures? Here's some more Scriptures. Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I put my Spirit upon Him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise His voice, nor cause His voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed He will not break, and smoking flax He will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till He has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for His law. The coastlands, that's nations, the Gentiles, that's the nations. They're waiting for His law. And when it talks about justice, what determines what is justice? The law of God. In Isaiah 2, it says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And listen, all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come. Those peoples are the nations. Come, they say, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And so Psalm 102, verse 15 says, so the nations shall fear the name of the Lord. And all the kings of the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in His glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord from the nations. They will fear Him. How are they going to fear Him? By the law. And so yes, all nations are under Christ's rule. And His rule is founded upon the law of God, His Word. And it is thus the duty of every nation and ruler and government to bend the knee to His rule, His law, to love and study it and meditate upon it and implement it, that standard of all rule and justice and judgment and legislation in a nation. And in doing this, nations and rulers are not to frustrate, as they're keeping God's law, they should be keeping God's law, they are not to frustrate the work of the church of Jesus Christ. Those nations, those rulers who acknowledge Christ's rule and support the true religion are promised great blessings. Even in Revelation 21, the city had no need of the sun nor the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, that's Jesus, is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. We remember, God's people, that the nation, the civil magistrate, descends. Their authority descends from the throne of Jesus Christ for the express purpose of preserving moral order among men for the good and the peace of the church. Or do you think that the Lord had no good plan to have a government over you? Or the governments throughout the world, the nations throughout the world, and not just one nation, but many nations, with many governments. There's a reason in God's eternal decrees that He made governments and ordained governments to be. To bring about, even what Romans 8:28 says, good for the people of God. So that by doing good, they will be praised, Romans 13 says. All governments, all rulers are part of the eternal decrees, the plan of God for the good of His church and the praise of the Lord in Christ, who is sovereign over all of them. Whether it is this church or the civil magistrate. So we think of the church and the civil magistrate. Either one. They have a common enemy. Sin. Proverbs 14:34 about the nation says what? Righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. And so if righteousness exalts a nation, what should a nation do? What should a nation bow down before and obey? Righteousness. The law of God is where we find righteousness declared. But sin is a reproach to any people. And so all peoples, all nations, all of us even included in that, remember the mediatorial Christ and the promise of Him in Genesis 49. Genesis 49, the end of the book of Genesis, verse 10. It says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people." And Christ being sent by the Lord, of whom it says, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, He will save us." If you want the judgment upon our nation to stop, beloved, there is judgment upon our nation now. If you want that judgment to stop, then you need to know, you already know what happens. You already know what needs to happen. What needs to happen? We must go out of here and call all rulers and leaders and kings and presidents and all, even in local, especially in local level, to kiss the Son, to bow the knee to Him, to swear their allegiance to Him, to give their life to Christ, and rule according to His Word, His law. To take up that Word and legislate and judge according to it alone. Remember James 4, verse 12, it says, there is one lawgiver. There's one. Not many. One lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. And so you ought to come to Christ who saves by faith alone from your sins, just as you are to call those you go out to, especially civil magistrates. You are to call them to come to the only one who is the lawgiver, Jesus Christ. They must come to the lawgiver and submit unto Him. And what great promises that await the church, that await all nations. Psalm 72, we've sang this part. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before Him, and His enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before Him. All nations shall serve Him. In which all the fullness of the Gentiles will come in. And all the fullness of the Jews as well. Romans 11, as we heard. And then how does Psalm 72 end? That we'll sing in a moment. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in Him. All nations shall call Him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be the glorious His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for all nations that they would come and submit unto You. And how can they submit unto You? But to submit to Your Word and Your law. And so, Father, cause all peoples, all kings and rulers and authority to come and bow the knee. That all nations would serve You. We look forward to a time, maybe even after we're gone and our souls have been lifted up to glory after been made perfectly holy. Maybe it's after us, and perhaps it is. But Father, we ask that You would bring about all nations to serve Your Son. That they would bow to Him and they would love Your law. And they'd rule according to Your law. That people would often be encouraged to worship You alone. That people would remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And gather together with the church. And many through that would come unto salvation in Christ. As they hear the preaching of the Word. Father, may it be in the time to come. It surely is not today. But we look and hope for it, and we are comforted in it because Christ sits on the throne. And we know it will come about. And according to Your Word, things will probably get worse before better. But we look forward to when they will get way better. When all nations come unto You and serve and worship You. And this we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.